Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and the carnation in my buttonhole. It's Dave Vitti.
Hello.
Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Dave, how are you? You look titivated.
Well, I'm physically excited. I'm like a cold spring today. And, you know, for that reason, we need to move straight on, Jace.
Well, do you know what? We don't have long. Mm. Our guest today is a gentleman. And I love saying that, but he generally is a gentleman who's quite simply one of the greatest racing drivers this country, i.e. GB, has ever produced. He's an international superstar from the world of Formula One. It is, of course, the one and only, me old mate, Jenson Button. Hello, pal. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blushing.
Oh, did I say anything untrue? I don't think I did. Did I?
I can't possibly comment. But lovely to see you guys.
And you?
Thank you. No, listen, thank you very much. It's wonderful to have you on here and joining us on Fueling Around. Jenson, you star in a brand new documentary series on Disney Plus entitled Brawn, The Impossible Formula One Story. It's a four-parter. It's released today on Wednesday the 15th, which is really exciting. Whose idea was it to document this brilliant tale?
All mine.
Was it? What was it generally? Because I know you quite, every now and then you might have a little bit of, but was it really?
No. It's scary, isn't it? It's 15 years ago. But you know, life just takes over and you just move on and you do new things and you have kids and you get married and you don't look at the past as much as probably we should, you know, and especially things
absolutely
achieved. So no, it was actually Keanu and his team. They got in touch.
Oh, was it?
Said we'd like to do a documentary about the 2009 season. So supposedly Keanu heard about it from a friend and they said, did you ever hear about this 2009 year where a team was bought for a pound and they won the world championship? And Keanu's like, what? Looked into it, got into it. And as Keanu does, just head first into it. And he did such a good job. He really, really did of bringing this amazing year. I mean, the story is the story, right? But he's able to go out and get the interviews he wants, and not many other people probably could.
No, you know, you're probably right. But was he always a fan? I mean, is he a genuine fan of F1?
Yeah, he loves his cars, he loves his bikes, he loves competition, he loves sport, and I think more importantly, he loves a good story. Mm. And he definitely had a good starting point. And you know, it's lovely that it's documented. One, because you know, it gives me time to stop and look back and remember that year. Yeah. It's also great because I've got kids now. They get to see me race. They get to see me in the year, which is cool.
I know kind of what that's like because when my kids were super young, they had no idea what, I mean, because, you know, nothing compared to you, but I'm like, are you not showing any interest? But it's lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely. You know, I did a NASCAR race earlier this year and our kids jumped in the seat just before I went out for the race. No, it is lovely. It's very emotional. And also there's there's millions of new fans of this sport, right? F1. Yeah. And they've seen Red Bull and they've seen Mercedes fight for victories and championships. I mean, they would think this is implausible that a small team bought for a pound could fight against the, you know, the big teams. But it happened. I mean, if this was a movie, a fictional movie, you'll say, well, that doesn't work because that's never going to happen. This isn't possible.
Yeah.
So no, it's such a special year in the sport, I think, and it's documented very well by Keanu and his team.
Now, that's why it just works so well. As I say, and you watch the trailer and you just think, this just looks brilliant. And almost to an extent, and I mean this as a compliment, it almost feels like it could be a work of fiction because it has all that sort of razzmatazz that you get with the Hollywood thing. And then you have to kind of go, no, this is real. This is absolutely, you know, this is a documentary. This really happened. And as you say, back in 2009, whenever that was, 14 years ago, something like that. Did you know Keanu before this project, Jenson?
No. So he'd been to a couple of F1 races. I'd met him. And then we had lunch in LA, talked me through it. And I saw his excitement. So then when we started filming, I didn't expect anything but the best. And he was awesome. He knew everything he needed to know and he knew how to extract the right questions or right answers from his questions. So no, he did a great job.
But do you know what, just what we're talking about then, you know, if you look back in history and you look at you know, all the moments that Formula One has produced, whether it be, you know, Niki Lauda pulling out of the final race of the year and James Hunt winning. Mm. I mean, so many, you know, Prost and Senna. This is an epic moment because it doesn't happen ever.
Yeah.
It's something off the scale. I mean, it's off the clock, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, the story in itself where a small team wins the world championship, yes. But then you look at the season as a whole and it's another story altogether. You know, we win 6 out of 7 races and then the car's performance drops off. My performance definitely drops off. My head's in, you know, I'm just...
And why? Explain that, because that's interesting.
Well, you put so much pressure on yourself, don't you, when you're winning, to keep winning. And everything else is a failure. So even second place is a failure at that point. And you see it with Max Verstappen now. He's won the championship. And if he's not quite as quick in one sector, he's super angry on the radio. And that's what it does. It turns you into a monster.
The beast. You
know? It does. And then when you do have one failure, suddenly it just spirals. And my head wasn't in the right place. And, you know, motorsport, a big part of it is not just about natural ability. It's about where your head's at.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is getting more and more interesting. I see it with so many drivers in this sport, and now drivers are being more open with their emotions and feelings, and, you know, saying that they're struggling. Before, for us, it was like, I don't want to show that to my competitors, that weakness.
Yeah.
I'm a real man.
I can bench press to 10 kilos.
Exactly. So, no, I like the way that it's going with sport at the moment. People are being more open, because that's a strength.
Me too.
So you go through this high, massive low, and then we win the championship with a race to go, starting at the back. It just, you couldn't script it any better. I mean, living it was a hell of a lot more stressful than the documentary perceives, but
of course,
it's such a good documentary, such a good story.
Mm. When you look back on it now, Jensen, and you look back to that period of time in motor racing history, I mean, the whole story, it ruffled a lot of feathers, understandably. But it was an absolute breath of fresh air in terms of what the Brawn team was doing. You know, do you think that was the shakeup that the sport needed at the time?
Yeah, definitely. And I love seeing the interviews of certain people in the sport. And it still hurts them that year that they were beaten by a small team. Christian Horner, Red Bull, Luca di Montezemolo, Ferrari, Bernie. It still grates. And that's awesome. it's such a good story that, you know, a small team pulling together, you know, on the brink of most of them not having a job, and we're coming into the holiday period. It's amazing what you do when you're put on the edge, right?
Yeah.
Put on the ledge, basically. Yeah.
Well, and do you know what you say that? You know, we've interviewed quite a lot of, you know, epic drivers like yourself. And everyone has said that way, when the conversation's gone that way, when it really matters, somehow you just find that little bit extra.
And true, also, you look to your mate in terms of the person you're working next to in the team, and you're pulling together and working together a lot more. You know, this is a sport that you never really see mistakes anymore. Well, we don't think we don't think there are mistakes. They happen. They're behind the scenes. But it's about having the right people around you to support you through that. And I don't know how these guys got this engine fitted into the car. I mean, I really don't know. Back in, it was end of 2009, start of 2009, where they put the Merc engine in the back. And they've got this big spacer that they're trying to fit it. I mean, you wouldn't even do that in F3 or touring.
Was it just like,
that's never going to be competitive. Think how quick we could have been.
So here is, I've got a question, but before I answer it or ask it, is it true that you had to get medics in Brazil to put your eyes back in?
I did have a friend once that had a glass eye that popped it into someone's beer. Yeah, in an F1 race. And then someone drank
it. Oh, that's awful.
And as they drank it, they threw the beer across the room and the eyeball went across the room. And he's like, Yeah, but no. No, that was, the emotion, it just hit.
Hell of a moment, eh?
Yeah, and as I say in the documentary, that I didn't party with the rest of the team. I went to say thank you to everyone, and I left and just sat on my own in the hotel room, just running through my life, and the emotion just hit.
Is that right? I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, a couple of hours in my hotel room, just starting from the karting, cadet karting, and going up through and... you know, the positives and negatives. And then it got to a point after 2 hours, I was like, oh crap. What do I do now? You don't plan on what happens after winning a world championship or your main goal in life. I had no idea what I was going to do from then on. And that was when I decided to jump ship.
When you look at the F1 championship now, Jensen, which you obviously do, and you look at it from a different perspective, do you find it as exciting as it perhaps was in your day? Can you look at it in that way? And can you find comparables? Is that possible?
It's tricky because we can say, this is boring. One guy's winning all the races. Mm. But this year will go down in history. Mm. You know, the championships that are won by such a big margin go down in history. You know, Michael Schumacher years, the dominance of the McLaren when Ayrton and Alain won the world championship. Nobody could touch them.
No.
So it will go down in history. And I have to say, if you look at the numbers and the results, it doesn't look great. But I think we've got some bloody good racing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the races, but we have had some really good racing up and down the field. It's not been a walk in the park for Max either. So I've enjoyed it, I have to say.
Mm.
Sprint races or sprints, not so much, apart from Brazil, which was amazing.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, more races in Brazil, please.
Yeah. What wasn't it? Wasn't it just epic?
For every reason.
Yeah, and whilst we're talking about that, we have to give a shout out to Fernando.
Oh, yeah, we do.
What a performance!
Well, he's one of us.
Wily old fox.
He's one of us. One of us old boys. He's 42, I think, later this year. So, no, amazing. And if you still want it, you still got it.
Yeah.
In your 40s, if you still want it. I mean, how old are you now? Are you
56. 56 just turned. 56 just turned.
Have you just retired?
Yeah.
So you were racing in your 50s and you were bloody quick.
Yeah, I think, do you know what, which I don't know whether to be proud of or ashamed of, but I'm the oldest person to ever win a British Touring Car race.
I think you should be proud of that.
Do you know what, I am, but, yeah, oh, and you're God. In your 53, I think. I won a Touring Car race.
And I'm not being rude, but he's probably a little fitter. Not saying you're not fit, buddy, but it just takes me back to 2005 Whistler.
Do you remember that?
Saw this man on a ski slope. I'm like, JP, what are you doing here? Yeah, which you always know it's going to end up bad.
I think that could perhaps be the next four-parter from Keanu Reeves is, you know, Whistler, the impossible story of Jason.
What happens in Whistler stops in Whistler, Jamie. You know the score.
Moving swiftly on, Jensen. We always like to ask our guests a little bit about their motoring past, you know, their history, where they came to, some of the more mundane things. I'm going to sort of condense this question because we're running out of time. So I'm going to ask you, what was the first car that you ever owned? And indeed, what is the current drive or what's the fleet? What does it look like?
It's so much easier doing this with someone that's British because I get asked this question all around the world and you know, I'm like, Vauxhall Cavalier. They're like, what's that? But yeah, I had a Vauxhall Cavalier, 1990, 90,000 miles on the clock, bought it for £2,000 myself when I was 17. It was
two grand for a Cavalier. That's strong money.
It was 7 years old. I lowered it, put some wheels on it. I won the 97 European Karting Championship. And my dad said before the race, said, if you win, I'm going to get you some alloys. So he did. Set of 17s.
Wait, when they were massive, weren't they back then?
Yeah. I think it came with 14s. And then SPAC suspension and some big 6x9s in the back. Yeah.
Oh, mate. And you were the in the parcel shelf, 6x9s.
Velvet parcel shelf.
Wicked.
Yeah, it was good. And now, I love my classic cars, I have to say.
Do you?
So I've got an E-Type. It took me 3 years to restore by a company in the UK. Bloody did an amazing job. It's like new, but it drives well. So racing clutch and what have you on it. So I drive that in the canyons, and that's the best thing because you can't drive too quick. You know, you're not. Off if you lose it in that, What else do I have? I have a couple of Lotus. Low tie, sorry.
So here's a question. Of all the cars, let's discount those. If you've got an itch that you're yet to scratch that you want to have, what would it be?
That's a really difficult question. Because I have just got delivered my Lotus Evija, the electric one, 2004.
Okay.
Oh, mate, I saw the video of that.
Yeah, which is pretty insane. So if I got given it, it would 100% be a 250 GTR. I mean, I don't know. For me, it would probably be a lightweight E-Type and race it at Goodwood.
Prettiest car that was ever made, so Enzo said. And I think he's probably right, isn't he?
I agree. Apart from the 250 GTR.
Yeah, you're not the first person, believe it or not. You're not the first person on this podcast series to actually suggest that would be their all-time fantasy. It's come up a few times, as you might imagine.
Oh, lovely. Well, I mean, I could go and plug my own company, which I wouldn't do, but Radford Motors do an amazing bespoke.
I've seen that. That's a really groovy looking thing, isn't it? It's engineered beautifully and all those things.
It's beautifully curvaceous. But you should check out the Pikes Peak one, which is just...
Funny enough, I did look at that the other day, actually, online.
It's a monster. So that's actually in Vegas at the moment. So I'm looking forward to going to see that soon. No, wicked. So we're enjoying it. So it's bloody hard business, but we're building a great product. So that's the most important thing.
So Dave, I know we're out of time. Gents, I know we're out of time, but just give us 30 seconds on what you reckon Vegas will be for F1 this weekend.
Cold. Weirdly in the desert in nighttime in November, but I've looked at the track and I've seen all the simulations and it looks a lot, this is going to sound bad, it looks a lot better than I thought it was going to. It's fast.
Yeah, it looks
really fast, which the guys are going to need it to be to get those tires working. The show is going to be off the scale, it's going to be off the charts, which is what Vegas is all about, right? And that's where we're going. We're not going for the best race in the world, because that probably happens in Spa or somewhere like that. But the event itself is going to be out of this world. It's just a pity in the UK it's going to be 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, you're definitely not getting up for that, Jose.
Mate, I've got series record all set, don't worry.
No, I'm really excited about it. I think it's great that F1's doing this, as long as we don't take away, you know, the proper driver's tracks, Spa, Suzuka, Silverstone. It's good to have a mix. With 24 races, you've got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for Martin's grid walk. That's going to be a bit interesting, isn't it?
It is. Good old Martin. I love his grid walks. Good. Awesome, guys.
Well, listen, we look forward to it. One final question before we let you go, Jensen. Music and cars go well together, we always say. So we'd like your fantasy drive, please. Where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? And most importantly, what are you driving?
Okay, I am going to drive my car at the garage, which is a Singer. I would drive to Stunt Road in California. There's one of the canyon roads here, Stunt, which is beautiful, very quiet. Weekends it gets a bit busy. I'd go on a Wednesday. What am I listening to? I'm really into my country music.
Are you really? Good on you. What?
I love
thumbs in the belt hoops.
Jelly Roll.
Oh, Jelly, I'm writing that down. Jelly Roll.
You got to check out Jelly Roll.
Okay.
Most unlikely country artist probably ever.
Really?
He's so good. Check out Jelly Roll.
Do you know what, Jason? On that note, I think. Oh,
do we have to? I know he's on a junkie. He's got to go. But come on, let's break the mold and let's go on for another hour. Shall we? Sadly, that is it for this week's Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Dave, as always, thanks to you, but a huge thanks to our mate, the one and only Mr. Jensen Button.
Don't forget the documentary series Brawn, The Impossible F1 Story, is released today on Disney Plus and looks like an absolute corker. As always, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Jason Plato or at David Bitty. And if you've liked what you've heard, feel free to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.
Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next time. Ta-da.